it's interesting to me that Shakespeare wasn't always Shakespeare, and from his own point of view, may have not always been pleased to have been Shakespeare. In his sonnet 111, this is a poem that feels written very close to the bone, a poem that digs deep into a personal history of self-loathing. Half complaint, half lament, it wrangles with fortune, which the poet calls the guilty goddess of his harmful deeds. Guilty because fortune did not better for his life provide than public means, which public manners breeds. Fortune, that is, made Shakespeare a player and a playwright, having to sell himself and his wares in the public playhouse to put his writing in view to the common gaze, to the applause, or not, of the vulgar multitude. Making him common, this business has tainted him, he says in the sonnet, stained him as indelibly as the dyer's business stains the dyer's hand. Plenty of Shakespeare's contemporaries would have endorsed the sonnet's sentiments. The anti-theatrical lobby found plays and playwriting loathsome, filthy, lewd, profane. From pamphlet and pulpit, preachers fulminated against the notion that plays could be work, that the fake sights and fond pastimes the players peddled in their market of bawdry were anything more than fraudulent devices to juggle money out of other men's purses. In the playhouse, after all, you paid hard cash to take home nothing, and it's likely you bunked off work to do it. Maybe on a bad day, Shakespeare agreed with them. In Coriolanus, the player is an oily hypocrite, prepared to speak with his tongue what his heart knows is a lie. In Macbeth, he's a fretful, strutting, walking shadow. In Antony and Cleopatra, playing is dissembling, masquerading as honour. In A Midsummer Night's Dream, it's a palpable, gross distraction to beguile and waste our time. But that's not the whole story, as Shakespeare's fellow playwright Thomas Heywood knew, writing in defence of their common profession that any idiot who denied that theatres should be might as well deny a world to me. I wonder whether, if he were around now to celebrate with us his 451st birthday, William Shakespeare would find it ironic that while the memory of those virtuous no-more-cakes-and-ale preachers has passed into oblivion, his name is known, not just to fortune, but to fame, and remembered because he was a poet, that is, from the Greek, a maker of public works that for 4.5 centuries have helped us make ourselves. As playwright, Shakespeare made a parallel world to ours, a world of shadows, illusions, of such stuff as dreams are made on, of mockeries. But he had his chorus in Henry V tell us that we can mine true things by what their mockeries be. Heirs to Shakespeare's kingdom and to his vast treasure trove of theatre records we call his plays, we are heirs to this invitation to mindfulness, to find in the mockeries played on Shakespeare's stage, true things to fashion our common lives.